Blog Talk Radio.
Freedom. Some seriously want it. Some never talk about it. We'll be discussing that in a few minutes. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your keypad when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you're on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage and click on the Dare to Win button and click on Listen Live. You'll be at the Blog Talk Radio site at that time. My name is Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of UU. Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good. I'm just loving being in that good company, and I'm serious about wanting to be free.
Well, we're glad to have you. We know that about you if we don't know anything else. So to begin, Brother Thurman, let's start tonight's conversation, freedom. Some seriously want it, some never talk about it. Let's define freedom, please.
Okay. Freedom, having the power and maintaining that power to live, think, speak, and do what we need to do as Black African people, and not allowing others to oppress us in any way.
Okay, that's a workable definition. No, you can repeat it. I think that's workable.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'll say it again. Freedom, mm-hmm. having the power and maintaining that power to live, think, speak, and do what we need to do as Black African people, and not allowing others to oppress us in any way.
Okay. So why did you choose that topic for tonight? This is bold topic, I think.
Yes. I chose the topic, freedom, because it, among the things I'm getting ready to say, it goes through my mind constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a long time in conversation with our sisters and brothers, I have to pause to remind myself many times that the subject of freedom and everything that's a part of that does not interest them. A segment of our people have absolutely
mm-hmm.
no interest in. And also the majority never use the word freedom. And that's something that really just constantly bothers me. Never use that word freedom or initiate conversation about becoming free.
Mm-hmm.
Farthest thing from their mind. And so it just makes it real plain to me, how could we achieve what we can easily and quickly achieve if we've got a large segment of our world population that never talk about freedom, never initiate a conversation about becoming free. And the
mm-hmm.
exceptions in my lifetime was, on occasion, people would be quoting something that was said or something somebody said during the civil rights movements in the 60s, but they're quoting somebody,
mm-hmm.
but otherwise they're not having a conversation about freedom. And also, when I said initiating a conversation about freedom, the subject, what I just said, is similar to talking to people about living a natural health, plant-based lifestyle, which
uh-huh.
I'm happy that a growing number of our people are following. But meanwhile, the larger number of our people participate in the get-sick lifestyle with huge success. And the disease treatments plentiful, and statistics verify what I just said.
Uh-huh.
So there's a huge number and an increasingly more kidney dialysis centers and chemotherapy and blah, blah, blah. And if tomorrow our people snapped their fingers and changed and went back to natural health and using what the universe and the earth provided, there would be mass numbers of these institutions, dialysis centers, and chemotherapies would just go out of business.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what?
And so
sometimes
we gotta be,
I think that...
Serious.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, you go right ahead.
No, what I was thinking is that quite often we think of freedom as being able to afford to do those things that make us sick. I don't know if we necessarily realize the connection between what we're doing and how sick we are. But, you know, we have money to go and do whatever it is. And so we do that and we get sick, but we don't connect the two.
Well, a lot of people around the world with little money or little money and a huge amount of money. So I'm reminded, as you were talking, years ago
mm-hmm.
when I was interacting and work with two of Dick Gregory's companies, and he told
mm-hmm.
us about how one day he was coming into the airport in Boston, and he told his wife to bring the children to the airport because he had something he wanted them to see so they could learn this lesson. And what
mm-hmm.
it was that he wanted the children to see was that the CEO of one of the world's largest pharmaceutical companies was being rolled out in a wheelchair. And the message
mm-hmm.
that Dick Gregory wanted the children and wanted us to learn was the CEO of one of the largest pharmaceutical companies didn't have enough drugs to get itself out of the wheelchair.
Exactly. That's,
and so there's lots of people that's being duped by, and they duped by thinking, you know, as you said, they got the money. Well, the money, we've got to be doing it. It's in the righteous ways of living, is that we would be doing things efficiently and harmoniously. And if people got money and they're spending it on medical care, you know, pharmaceutical, artificial care, but what about the legacies that they could be leaving? What about the monies that they could be contributing towards freeing us and building businesses and institutions that we control for us to get free? But otherwise, and I was going to talk about this later, but with this so-called health care, medical health care, there's an enormous amount of energy, time, money, resources, and other people involved, all because of people living unnaturally. And then when you compare that against our people that are living naturally, and there's sisters and brothers around the world, a lot of them you could look them up that are living more naturally, and they're having a whole totally different experience. Their sisters and brothers at 50, 60, 70 years old couldn't run from one end of the block to another, but yet we've got a sister like Ida Keeling, spelled K-E-E-L-I-N-G. She's 105 years old. I started watching her when she was 90, and she's in the Guinness Book. She runs the 50-yard dash. She does push-ups. And when she was in her 90s, she said, "I intend to never stop moving."
Exactly.
But the last that I looked in on her, she was 105, and she's still moving. A totally different experience versus, as I said, people half her age that can't hardly get across the street, all because they've been duped and they're following an unnatural lifestyle. But that's all working against our freedom. When we take our freedom, we want to put a stop to all of these various things, materialistic addictions and food addictions, healthcare addictions, and whatever else it is that we're failing to embrace it properly in order to have freedom.
For sure. We have a call already. Do you want to, I'm going to open hold on a minute. Okay, caller with the last four digits, 0401. State your name, where you're calling from, make your comment or ask your question, please.
My name is Clinton Butler. I'm calling from Stone Mountain, Georgia. And I would like to say it is an honor and a pleasure to be a part of this wonderful platform to talk about freedom. I just have a couple questions.
Go ahead.
Okay.
To gain the freedom that you're talking about, my liberated brother, what are the process and phases you got to go through to gain that freedom? That's the first question. The second question is, in order to gain that, wouldn't you think that, first of all, we have to be free in our thinking, free from ourselves, from the European system we are thinking?
Yes, and the last thing that you said about being free from the European, absolutely. We have to escape from that because the European system is a distraction, and any time you're choosing to be free and disciplined about anything, if you constantly get distracted, then you can't be successful in your freedom and being disciplined about it. And so imagine that we could snap our fingers tonight, you and I and the rest of us in the circle tonight, and tomorrow morning we'll wake up and all of our people have freed themselves from the Europeanized, socialized addictions of European holidays and European ways of doing whatever. And we're just right solidly focus on our African mind. What a relief that would be. But now we're free to just go forth and and come back to our greatness. And so we can't simultaneously be dabbling in eating in a way that you're taking chemotherapy, but at the same time you say, I'm well. So it's just like I've been listening to sisters and brothers for years, you know, have a heart attack or have a stroke or have so-called cancer and then taking chemotherapy. And then they'll say, well, I got my health and strength back. And I'm looking at them and I know that they're still alive, but they ain't got their health and strength. And if you said, run down the block to save yourself, a whole bunch of them couldn't because they don't have their health and strength back. But Alda Keeling that I mentioned a little while ago is 105 years old. She could run to the end of the block because she was disciplined, continuing to always move. And that's a process. That's a process. And the process that was your first question, that's attached to the second question, is part of that process is we have to let go of European concepts of things as our master teachers have taught us for many years. And we have to start take a piece at a time because the process that they use to dupe us, to socialize us, to mislead us is vast. If we try tonight to list everything that they're using against us, very few of us could even come close to the list because we don't know what they all are, but we know what quite a few of them are. But we have to start with ourselves, and among the processes that we've got to do is we've got to come back to being able to talk to each other in a circle about anything, and not argue. And it's achievable. I know it because I have years ago, long time ago, been in circles with brothers that had came to a point of love and loyalty for each other that we could talk about anything and never had an argument. And I attach that to the ancient Africans that said, when you have mastered calmness, you have mastered one of the keys to life. So when we come to the circle and we're going to talk about whatever, when we have mastered calmness and we've got that love and loyalty, we'll leave that other stuff and that argumentative stuff, and after a while we'll forget about it and we just don't argue. But now what do? We're making progress. So when I was in those circles numerous times, the brothers talked about anything that came up, and every time when we left the circle, we all had gained, learned something else. And we had opportunity to add to or add more to whatever I said. Then when the next person speaks, they could bring a higher level of clarity on something that I didn't know about or I left or I was confused about, but no argument. And so when we can come and sit and just talk about anything and not have an argument, we're making progress on that level because now we can define things and break things down and get out of confusion and get to clarity. So we got two major problems every day, and that is either we got clarity or we got confusion. And it's a mass amount of confusion. Whatever the subject you want to pick up, if it's about the virus, there's a mass amount of confusion, and we need clarity. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, you did, but I have one more, and it is compounded, impacted with a lot of other questions. I want to commend you for what you're doing, and you too, my queen. The other question is this. When we get to that point and go through the process, would you agree that we have to establish our own institutions? And when we establish our own institution, we have to create a security force so we can protect our institution and society and community that we live in. How do we go about doing that since we as a people don't control any of the institutions that the system operates under?
Yes, and you're bringing some powerfully good points. And yes, we must establish our own institutions, and we must establish, and you're so right, you're right on top of it about the security. And we can establish, we can begin, for one, you're in the right place with the right corporation, us lifting us, because we are in place. Advancing our original economic model, which is cooperative economics, and us lifting us gives us the opportunity to pool resources and also to participate where every member, every sister and brother, and it's only for us, but every sister and brother has a say-so, got a vote. And so you joining us, lifting us, you would have a vote and you have a say-so about what you just said and what you ask about and what you're aware of, the need for the institutions, the need for the security. And then we could pool intellectual and financial resources to make what you were asking about happen. And I have been on the radio a few times, and something else is dear to me. It's called Cultural Centers. And there's a sister, and I can't tell you her name right now, but she, amongst more than one sister, had said years ago that we need to establish cultural centers wherever we are on this planet. But it's a place where we can come and we can talk as black as we want for as long as we want and about as much as we want. And so now we can strategize on how we're going to have these institutions. We can strategize about the points of having security and how do you set up security and make it work, because we can do that. It's all within our reach, especially when we put our minds together. So just like on the security thing, I'm thinking about Brother Robert, ancestor Robert Wimp, if I got his name right, and his book was called Negroes with Guns. Well, he was part of a rural down south community that was being attacked repeatedly by the Klan. Well, the Klan came through his community, and afterwards, he and the sisters and brothers, the women, they put their heads together and they established a plans, including security plans. And when the Klan came back again, they shot the Klan, and the Klan didn't come no more, because they put their minds together and strategized, talking, communicating, which we must do.
Okay. Thank you, brother, for your participation in the call. Tell me your name again, please.
Excuse me?
Tell me your name again.
Yeah. Clinton Butler.
Clinton. Okay. Thank you, Clinton.
You're welcome.
Okay, Brother Thurman, what I was thinking about as you were addressing Brother Clinton's question, we tend to think in the same terms as European thinks of, which is more physical, and we could control security on a place with our minds, if we could get ourselves together. And I don't know how else to say it. You know, if when we stop thinking in the way that the European wants us to think, we could put our minds together and spiritually build protection around everything that we do. There are people that do that kind of stuff, but we are immersed in the European way, which is always thinking physically. So we don't even know all of our powers as people with melanin. So
that's true. We have amongst our people all over the planet, those that still know different levels of what you're talking about. And it's a very serious matter, and I'm so thankful that you brought it up as well as the caller brought up security. And I had a couple of things as you were talking, and I had to regroup on one of them. But one of them was among my notes for tonight was the words of Kwame Ture that applies to what you were talking about. And it's called, and Kwame Ture said, organization is a weapon of the oppressed. Once again, organization is a weapon of the oppressed. And then I went on to write that when we more effectively use this weapon, which is speaking towards what you're talking about, when we more effectively use this weapon, we will have greater success in achieving freedom. And we're not using the weapon, because we have powers within us, and then collectively, when we magnify that, it becomes even more powerful. And yes, that weapon that Kwame Ture was talking about, organization, but he was just talking about organization, but it's still a weapon. It's not a gun. It's not a plane full of bombs. It's organization. Now, when it comes to what you're talking about, that opportunity is there for us. We've got to, one, take it to the people that don't know what it is, because they just don't know. And just to give you an example, when you're talking about using that weapon, you're talking about using energy that's in the universe and that you connect to. And one of the things I thought of, the second thing that I had missed for a minute or two, was that years ago there was a book came out in the 70s, and it was about an African village. But anyway, part I want to get to was probably more than one part, but one of them was that the young brother that had left the village and went for days and days to get to a town to go into the city. It's kind of like our folks that lived in the country in North Carolina, Virginia, down south in the 50s and 60s and then left home and went to Washington or New York or Philadelphia to the streets. And he left home. But anyway, at some point he got still and he had a reflection based on what he had been taught by the wise elders. And he said that when African people practice their culture and their spirituality, if they needed it to rain, most of the time it would rain. He said, but when they abandon their culture and their spirituality and their power, which is what you're talking about, they couldn't get it to rain. And so the reason that we are not using what you're talking about is because people have abandoned and they have, yes, adopted, been duped, this European way. And one other thing related to that I had on my mind tonight was about an elder that years ago, he was visited, and when the family came to see him, he was walking around the house with his right arm and his hand and a fist over his heart. And so he was asked why he got his hand like that. And so he took the other hand and he touched his fist and he touched his arm and he said he couldn't open his hand, he couldn't open his arm, bend his arm. Well, anyway, the young brother that inquired with him about that, you know, did some energy work on him for 2 minutes and left the room. But anyway, a few minutes later, the brother was opening his hand and bending his arm. But if he had been left to where the people that are not familiar with their power, the only thing they would have done was taken him to the doctor and they would either give him some drugs and or surgery, neither one of which he needed. He just had a circulation problem, and he was diagnosed that he had a circulation problem. And the brother that did the energy work just asked his body, his heart, to let blood and vital energy come down his arm in a circular fashion, and he was able to open it. And he had been that way for days. So you're so right on time. That's part of our freedom that we've got to have as a caller talking about security, but we've got to use the highest level of protection, the highest level of nourishment and healing. And in all realms, there's a higher level. When it comes to nourishment, we could think of food as nourishment, but that's not the only nourishment. Nourishment is the sun, and it's not just vitamin D. It's beyond that. But there's nourishment in the air. And we've forgotten that because we're just out of touch. The Twa in Africa right now can identify 300 different plants that could be used to heal anything. So why do we need a pharmaceutical company? We just need to get back in our right mind and circle up amongst ourselves that the caller talked about it and be serious about freedom.
No doubt. Yeah. And I think part of it is that in this environment where we are now, is the main thing is competition. And we could, if we would become more cooperative or, I guess that's the word, if we cooperate rather than compete, we would get a lot more done as well. because, like you were saying, when you were talking about where you could hold a conversation, you could talk about anything without having an argument. Part of that, I would think, is because there's no competition in your ideas. You all are cooperating. You've decided that you want to build on what each other puts forth in the conversation. So there's no reason to argue because you're creating together rather than competing to see who has the best idea. And that's something else we used to do.
Yeah. And I would add that when I mentioned those gatherings, what that coming together to talk about anything, what motivated that bigger than anything that started it off, is that we had come together out of love and loyalty every day, that love and that loyalty was what generated the greatest ability to talk about anything. And so with that love and that loyalty that was being nurtured, it brought forth out of the brothers an agreement to each other, a declaration to each other, that regardless of what we were going through from day to day, that one of the things that we were never going to do was fight each other. So I got to see, which most Africans have not experienced, but I got to see it for months and months go by, no brothers ever fighting each other. But this is what love can do, along with that topic that you're talking about. So there's so much more that's there for us on a higher level. And we've got to go back, do like the ancestors in Africa of the high culture period, and know that there's just higher levels. And so it's just like people go to college and get a degree, and some of them get two or three. And then there's some people that say that they got 33. But yet in ancient Africa during the high culture period, we had folks that actually exist, like Imhotep, that had gained 360 degrees or 360-plus degrees of knowledge. So how does that compare to 2 or 3 or 33? It's there waiting, and it's within us, and we've just got to come together in a circle at the cultural centers and get into and exchange thoughts with each other.
Thank you for that. So what do you think that we do daily and throughout the year that can help us in this process? What do we do now that's counterproductive, and how would we flip that to something productive that we could do every day, day in and day out, that would free us up from what is holding us back?
Among the things that can help in my experience to help us more rapidly get there and get clarity and get focus is to think in terms of every day with your personal self is every day to be focused on strengthening self spiritually, mentally, physically, and nutritionally. And when you do that, now you're simultaneously awakening to a higher level, this total spirit, mind, body, not just a part of self, but all of self. And as I mentioned earlier about learning and practicing calmness, that's one of them. And so among the things that's vital that will make a big difference in people is that if they started their day off with some consistent things that they do all of the time, because the message is, I think you asked the question, what do we do daily throughout every day and throughout the year? And our freedom movement will succeed when every day we participate in some of the various cultural affirming activities that's vital to our being free. And our daily routine or rituals is a necessary ingredient for our success. So I just said our daily rituals are necessary for our success, but we're not doing them daily. And so it's like Professor James Small that said years ago, that if you're not practicing rituals, you're not African. And I'm not even talking about any particular African practice, but if you're not practicing some rituals that get you grounded, calmed, and focused. And among the things is, if I just mention a few things that to do daily, is that mm-hmm. every day, every morning when you awaken, there's things to do that will help you before you ever get up. But not to get into that right now, but one of the things, first thing that you should do in terms of when you get up is go wash your hands and have your big glass of room temperature water, because that's towards hydrating your body. It's waking up your elimination system. It helps your brain function, because when the body is not, and the brain is not getting adequate water, it does not function well. The circulatory system in the blood doesn't function well when it's not getting adequate water. And when you've got to go out in the street to wherever, when you have gotten up early and had that room temperature water, and then you move around the body, and especially if your diet is proper on a regular basis, is going to call for elimination. And so now you've had elimination of waste before you have to go out in the street and amongst other people, and you got that done. And so that's just the water thing. And then next would be a meditation prayer when you get up early in the morning, and ideally early in the morning, not late in the day, but early in the morning. Early in the morning, the brain is very receptive to being quiet and calm, but it's very receptive to inspiration and grounding words and revolutionary words and inspirational words, and it retains or remembers more of that. So if every morning you expose your brain and look forward to some grounding words, it helps you to build greater strength and greater clarity and greater knowledge. Okay. And then with that, we need to be having a list of tasks that we're going to do every day, and every day, every morning when we wake up, go look at that task list so that you know what you got on the list for the morning and for the afternoon, and it raises the odds that you would get more of them, if not all of them, done. And uh-huh. incorporated would be, and so then some nutritious drink, and then going about your day doing a lot of other things, but if you've got work, you do your work, but throughout your work day, you still got to incorporate in there some work for our freedom. And that could be going out and doing some each one, reach one, teach one kind of thing. That's some work towards our freedom. To read something, you know, when you're taking a break, that's culturally affirming, that's inspirational, motivation, teaching you a higher level about self, including tapping into that power that you said that we can use as a weapon to protect us, all of those kind of things. We need to be incorporating those things and more into our daily activities. And some people that would want to be so-called chilling, you know, which I think is a horrible word or process that's mm-hmm. even in our brain, they would want to say, man, I don't be going through all of that. Because among the last things that I had on the list was that in the evening that you have a healthy, early evening, a healthy major meal for the day. And uh-huh. then I put housekeeping, whatever that might be. But before bed, that you do, you read something, write something, speak something, listen, watch, plan, participate in some culturally affirming work for our people, and then you go to bed and rest. And then okay. if I had read the whole list, and when we're in the morning, we've got to be fit when we wake up in the morning, meaning that the day before and the days before, you needed to be living in a way where you're being well-nourished and you're doing exercise and you're fit, because the Africans said that when you wake up in the morning, you need to be like the gazelle. And the gazelle knows that when it wakes up in the morning, if it's not fit and ready to run, the lion will eat it. And uh-huh. then the lion knows that if it's not fit, it can't catch the gazelle, and the lion will be hungry. And so every morning when we wake up, we need to be fit and ready to run and do whatever we need to do. And so we have the ability to go hard, and the ancestors and lots of us got family members that was out there picking cotton and chopping and things, and they went hard, and it was hell out there. Mm-hmm. But they did it, which is a testimony that we can endure a whole lot of things. And we've got to do, we've got to go hard, and we've got to participate in doing things for the greater good. And that's another term that our ancestors used to measure things based on, is it in the greater good? And so if it's the subject of taking chemotherapy, ask yourself, is that in the greater good? And the truthful answer is no, it ain't. But eating cheese or drinking cow's milk, is it greater good? And no, it's not. And then the things that I had mentioned, and I did mention some things, including going out in the sunshine and doing sun gazing. But those list of things that we need to do every day, the next day you repeat those things so that you will be well, so that you'll function. So Ida Keeling, that's 105 years old, she keeps moving every day. She repeats that every day. That's why she's still moving at 105. And we can do the same thing in similar kind of ways. And we got to recognize that the ones that, so the message today was about are we serious about freedom? Some seriously want it. Some never talk about it. But the ones that don't talk about it, a major problem is that they don't know. They've been misled, miseducated in the schools, and we have a responsibility to our people, to our ancestors that did great things and accomplished great things, to take it to them. That's another reason why we need the cultural centers, so that we can teach them about somebody, people that actually exist, like Imhotep and what he accomplished, and others, sisters and brothers, and Queen Nzinga, that for 35 or more years battled the Europeans, and they didn't win for 35 years, a sister leading an African army for 35 years undefeated.
Right.
And she was an only sister that did fantastic things. So we've got to be serious, and that's why the thing was some seriously want freedom, some never talk about it. We got to talk about it, and we got to take it to the ones that it just haven't even crossed their mind.
Right. I think that's very important, and give them a different perspective on what that means,
because
in this society, I'm free because I have a good job and I make X amount of dollars a week, and I'm in debt because I have a car note and a mortgage and whatever. But that's, I'm living the American dream. So I'm free.
That's an illusion in their mind. And so I had a little piece about materialistic freedom, or getting free from this materialistic stuff. And I was reminded of 2003, because I remember it very, very well, a brother that for years had been studying the Bible and the Bible dictionary and apocrypha and things like that. And he always prided himself as knowing, so many things. And so I went past him one morning, and he said, Brother Thurman, he said, come here, I got something for you. And so he was excited. And so he said to me, he said, if Jesus came back today, are you ready? And I looked at him, and I had a thought in my mind, but I stayed quiet and just gave thought, and I said I wanted to answer him in the direction of what he asked me. And my answer to him, that is a real serious message, I told him, if Jesus came back today and told us to leave all of our stuff, including our Rolex watches and our cars and our wheels and all of this stuff, I said, and he said, follow him down the road to righteousness. I told the brother, I said, I'm ready. And the brother looked at me, and he was stunned, and he said, I had never thought about that we would have to leave all of our stuff. And I told him, I said, brother, you got a lot of people like you that have never thought about it, and some of those people, if Jesus came back today and told them to leave all of their stuff, they would tell Jesus, go back where you were and come back 100 years from now, because I don't want to leave my stuff. And I told him that just goes to show the degree of clarity and how serious they are, because they got an attachment to their stuff. And that's one of the reasons why we're not making as much progress towards our freedom, because of people that's attached to stuff, whatever it is, the food, mm-hmm. the materialistic stuff, and on, fussing, cussing, attachment, and it's not in that divine realm.
Right. Yeah.
And I hope
so
that makes
as
sense.
We. It made a lot of sense because there are a lot of people that never entertained that concept that they would
have
to actually be some stuff, you know?
Yes.
So as we wind up this evening, Brother Thurman, what would you like to make sure the family takes away with them from tonight's discussion about freedom? Some seriously want it and some never talk about it. What would you want them to take away?
That we must talk. Every day we must talk. We spend too much time, if we talk, talking about low-level foolishness, about television and killer cussing movies, but we need to have deep conversations about life, you know, the ancestors had in place, and it still exists, called African deep thought. But we need to get into deep thoughts about whatever, you know, the higher levels of thinking, and then we have a higher level of behavior and expressions and all of those. And I would say that in these minutes to take away is mm-hmm. that I mentioned that Kwame Ture said organization is a weapon of the oppressed. Organization mm-hmm. is a weapon of the oppressed. So we need that. And it's timely that as we're having this conversation about freedom to take it seriously, we need to incorporate everything that will help us to get there. And down that road to freedom, there's multiple things that we must include, and we've already talked about some of it, you know, including wellness and fitness and sanity and clarity instead of confusion. And mm-hmm. I may have said it earlier, but on a daily basis, our basics is we need water, food, and I got food/wellness, shelter, clothing, and some land to live on, and within this capitalistic society, money. And mm-hmm. and then because we are faced with this money, this economic thing, and we as a group of people, most of us all over the planet, we're suffering, we're deficient or lacking in sufficient money to finance the things that we need to do, including building the institutions like the caller talked about in schools and also building businesses and institutions so that we can be assured that we will be leaving legacies for multiple generations in the future. And towards that, talking about the money, which is something that's a tool that's needed towards our freedom, is Us Lifting Us. And Us Lifting Us is the place that has in place an organized model for Black African people to come together and pool their intellectual and financial resources so that now we can build these businesses and institutions, and doing it together and doing it in a harmonious kind of way, because as an Us Lifting Us member, all members have a vote and all members have a say-so. And when us members come together at their annual members meeting, nobody that has paid their annual $50 a year dues is left out of their voice being heard. And you have experienced Us Lifting Us doing that, and I have myself. And so then we've got to escape from this brutal capitalistic model. And however we try to sum up the capitalistic model and say, well, you can go to this bank and that bank, and you can put your money here and whatever and get some interest, but it's still a brutal model. It's a brutal model that still kills people, destroys people, and have no. They have never stopped. And so from the first times that the invaders came and attacked us, they have never, ever stopped attacking us. Well, and you mentioned earlier the word cooperation. So the cooperative mm-hmm. model is about cooperating, and it's a cooperating in terms of putting our intellectual as well as financial resources. But in that cooperative economics and some of the history of it, it didn't just apply to just cooperating on money, but it applied to cooperating on agriculture, house building, and many other things. And just to give an example, if Sister Q had 100 acres of yams,
mm-hmm.
and yams are ready to be harvested, and you and your family, it was only three or four of you all, and you need to be taken out of the ground in the next 2 weeks, then you and your three or four family members could end up with a lot of yams left in the field. But with that cooperation and being a part of the cooperative, you call out to myself and other sisters and brothers in the community, and we'll make a plan that we're going to show up this weekend, and we're going to show up in big numbers, and we're going to get all of those yams out and get them put up in a position where you could take them to market and store what you needed to store, because we're mm-hmm. doing it as a cooperative. We do the same thing with house building. You have gathered up the materials to build your house, and you need help, but you call on the collective that's cooperating mm-hmm. with each other, and we show up, and over the weekend, we get your house up.
Right. And then reciprocal, so
yes.
that when someone else needs their house put up, I'm part of the crew that helps put their house up. You know, it can.
Yes.
I think you're aware of like the shushu idea, where
yes.
you go
yes.
in circles. Whoever needs help gets the help.
Yes.
That's important, I think.
Yes. And, yeah, and so in that direction, that's, you know, what you're just emphasizing, there's so much that we can do and we would do when we are cooperating and when we have nurtured and we've been advocates and serious about us being free and living in harmony amongst each other and having power to keep others from attacking us, brutalizing us, or whatever. And the freedom is something that our ancestors had a whole bunch of that we don't have, because there was a time when there was no humans on the planet except us.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we had nature to deal with, which has got challenges, and the
right.
universe to deal with. But we had a more harmonious relationship with nature as well as with the all of the other life forms, including the animals. And when we had harmonious, and right now, using that power that you talked about earlier, as I mentioned the book about the brother talking about getting it to rain,
mm-hmm.
most Africans, if you told them about getting it to rain or parting the rain, they would look at you funny. It's because they don't know. But
exactly.
there are, and I know Africans that have parted the rain or got it to stop raining and things like that. And if you go into the history of various African countries, if you call it that, Ethiopia
mm-hmm.
for one, that was a point when they were battling with the Europeans, that because of their harmonious connection and their power to communicate with the animals and the insects, they used lions and the bees as weapons against the invaders, effectively.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and
for sure.
When you brought up the power, there are Ethiopians right now that if they heard you say something about getting some wire and putting up a fence to keep the animals out or whatever, or to keep your animals from wandering off, some of them would just
mm-hmm.
smile because they have a process of using power where they can establish a boundary energetically and create that within their mind.
Right.
And the animals don't cross it. They have created an invisible, powerful, secure fence, but it's no metal fence there.
Exactly. So, Brother Sermon, in the last few minutes, will you remind people of how to go about joining ULU, how to get more information about ULU?
Yes. And to get more information about Us Lifting Us, you go to www.usliftingus.com. That's usliftingus.com, the web page. And you can learn more information about Us Lifting Us. You would also be able to give some contact information to get further information that would be sent to you, some of it by email. And also you can email us at info@usliftingus.com. That's info@usliftingus.com. And once again, I said the web site is usliftingus.com, and there you can find out more about Us Lifting Us, and also you can apply for membership. And keep in mind that anyone who's not a member, you have to apply for membership, because the membership is a very serious matter, and the membership is strictly for Black African people all over the world. And we have sisters and brothers all over the world that are a part of Us Lifting Us, because we recognize that we need to have places that we can go to, including the cultural centers, where we can go and talk amongst ourselves and talk about whatever we want to talk about pertaining to our African family and our well-being and our freedom and all of those things. And once again, when you apply for membership, when you do apply and send in the application, you send that in with $50, which is the annual membership that's due every year. And once you are accepted for membership along with your $50, now you have full voting rights in whatever issues and whatever comes up at the annual members meeting, and even before then, you have a say-so and you have a voice in it. And every month we have a monthly Sunday only, members only call. And there's just lots more. And as I said, you can find information on the web page. And we need your help. If you're not a ULU member, we need help to build these businesses and these institutions. We need help in all areas of Us Lifting Us, including their committees. If you've got skills in whatever business skills, whatever that might be, including in marketing skills, media skills, doing radio programs such as tonight, we need more sisters and brothers that can participate in that. If you or someone you know has a subject that's vital to our people, and ideally that's has some connection to the us becoming free as well as economics, we invite you to contact us, like I said, at info@usliftingus.com. And if you got a topic that's vital to our people, to let us know what it is. It's just like this topic is vital, but there's lots and lots more topics that's vital. You got skills in international trade skills. We've got contacts with sisters and brothers in Africa and other parts of the world that's anxious to do business with each other, and we need more input and from those that are experienced in terms of the international trading and everything that's associated with it, including shipping containers and all of those things. Technology skills, we need you. And if you are serious about freedom, yes, join Us Lifting Us. And the word is Us Lifting Us, and we're serious about it.
Thank you, Brother Sermon, for tonight's discussion. And I want to thank everyone who's joining us on the call this evening. We'll be back next Thursday evening, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Peace.